time, I would like to introduce Mr. Jim Carnahan.
Chilkoot Indian Association has a new tribal administrator, and a meat experiment in Haines turns out pretty good.
It was beautiful. The meat was just fantastic.
It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Alaska Governor Sean Parnell and Yukon Premier Dennis Fenty briefly addressed the confusion over why Skagway is being overlooked as a shipping port for Yukon ore. Yukon Zinc Corporation recently indicated that it plans to transport zinc, lead, and copper concentrate from its Wolverine mine near Ross River, Yukon, by truck along the Stewart-Cassiar Highway to a port in Stewart, British Columbia. That road trip would be almost twice as far as a trip to Skagway, at almost 350 miles longer. From Stewart, the company plans to ship the material to smelters in Asia. Skagway Borough Manager Tom Smith has estimated that choosing Skagway over BC would even save the company about a day's sailing time. Smith also said the Skagway Borough has been unsuccessful in attempts to discuss shipping arrangements with Yukon Zinc, which is wholly owned by a company in China. In the meantime, Yukon Zinc's Chief Operating Officer Raymond Ma said the Skagway port was a viable option, but the BC port was chosen for its, quote, commercial and technical merits. On Friday, while the state governor and Yukon premier were meeting in Whitehorse, they both said they have no influence on which port the mine decides to use. Premier Fenty said, quote, "You have to understand that this is a corporation that makes decisions. Whether they want to choose Vancouver as a port, Stewart as a port, or Skagway as a port, that's choices they make," end quote. Parnell added that the state government is expanding port facilities in Skagway, saying, quote, "We'll continue to make those investments and encourage that cooperation together." Chilkoot Indian Association has a new tribal administrator, several months after former administrator Greg Stuckey relocated to Anchorage with his family. Haines Mayor and Council President Jan Hill introduced Carnahan at Tuesday's Borough Assembly meeting.
At this time, I would like to introduce Mr. Jim Carnahan. He is our new Chilkoot Indian Association Tribal Administrator. So you'll see his face at meetings frequently. He comes to us from Shelton, Washington. He actually came to Haines for his face-to-face interview with our council on our worst blizzardy day that we had all winter. And he still came back. So we're very pleased to have him, and welcome to Haines, Jim. I'm sure you're going to enjoy your stay, and his wife will be joining him. I think she gets here on about the 22nd. So he will become a very familiar face to all of you.
Skagway Panthers continued against Klawok Chieftains early this week, with the Skagway girls winning 49-21 and the boys losing 41-81 on Monday. On Tuesday, the Panther boys beat Thorn Bay 69-31. Basketball continues this week with Panthers versus Heidelberg and Craig, and Haines against Wrangell. Haines recently served as testing grounds for a state experiment that wanted to find out if Alaska-grown meat had a market in Southeast. The Department of Natural Resources Division of Agriculture selected Ulrud's Alaska Meat and Grocery to receive its first ever shipment of beef and pork raised and butchered within state lines. Simon Ford is the meat manager at the store in downtown Haines.
Yeah, this is the first time we've been able to pull this off, and the problem is we're producing good stuff in Alaska. With vegetables and meat and whatever, but there's no transportation system set up to deliver this stuff in remote parts of Alaska, get it from one region to another.
The Division of Agriculture's Patricia O'Neill arranged the test with the help of a state grant that covered the shipping costs for the meat.
We've been working on a red meat project. We had some federal funding, and I said, hey, we would like to see if, you know, we can market some meat in Southeast, we being the producers and us being the division helping facilitate the shipment. And so I called them and I said, would you be interested? I had been in the Southeast for the Southeast Fair, and I had really seen a lot of interest in local production and local products and being able to acquire and purchase them. And so that was when the idea started coming to me. We want to test the market for Southeast, because not a lot of Alaska-grown products go south at all. And a lot of it is because of, one, the perishability of it, and two, because of shipping costs. So we wanted to see, what are the possibilities of shipping products south? Can we overcome these barriers?
Ford says he was happy to be the guinea pig among Alaska's butchers.
She called me up and said, you know, we want somebody from Southeast to do this and just to see how it goes. And I jumped at it. So I bought two steers and two pigs. They were raised in Delta Junction, and they were taken to a processing plant just out of Fairbanks, and they slaughtered them and broke them into quarters for us. And then they were trucked down to Anchorage.
Most consumer goods arrive in the Upperland Canal via Juneau from the Lower 48, and few, if any, perishable Alaska-grown goods are shipped to Southeast Alaska. It's just too costly to ship overland in-state.
The price was a little higher than buying traditional boxed beef out of Seattle, but it wasn't a whole lot higher. But once you factored the shipping in, it almost doubled. I had $3,500 in the meat, and then it was just under $3,100 for shipping.
According to the Division of Agriculture's research, Alaska farmers can grow enough supply for the state's residents, but it's the shipping complications that keeps the production for Alaska grown so small.
It's kind of ironic because production is limited by the market, and it's not cost effective at this point for our producers to grow more to export because the lower 48 market is so large. So it's our goal to expand markets. You guys, as far as I know, you don't receive Alaska-grown potatoes and carrots and cabbage in the winter. Why not? It's not because they're not available. It's because of the perishability and the shipping costs and the avenues of shipping. And another side of greater production is having more food security in Alaska, and we all understand the importance of that and to be self-sufficient.
The delivery of 1,600 pounds of raw meat across the country's biggest state was not easy until a high-tech shipping structure came around.
It's called a Ted's Box. This new battery-operated magic container to keep things cold. And it's just maybe a pallet-sized 6-foot-tall container that they can control the temperature and humidity in this thing. And so they put that in a truck and trucked it from Anchorage down to Haines.
O'Neill says the division recognized the risks that meat and grocery was taking by volunteering to sell the product and relied on Ford's relationship with customers and expertise as a butcher for their results.
We thought, okay, we want to see, yes, how fast the meat sells, what the customer's response is, what price they're willing to pay. And so we were able to say, you buy the meat, we'll pay for the shipment. We understand that this is a big risk for you. This is a risk that you might not be willing to take if you don't know what the customer's response will be and what price point will be the breaking point.
And Ford says people liked the meat, which was not organic but hormone and antibiotic free from Tanana Valley Meats in North Pole.
The stuff was in really good condition and it was beautiful. The meat was just fantastic. And we had a really, really good response. People loved it for a variety of reasons. You know, I tried to interview a lot of customers and, well, did you like the meat? Everybody loved it. No complaints about the meat. Everybody thought it was a good value, and there were different things that were appealing to people about it, one of which being it was natural, and another being it was Alaska grown. I got a lot of comments about, you know, well, the less dependent we are on those knuckleheads down south, the better, you know, and I kind of shared that same philosophy.
Neither the division or Meat and Grocery is planning to sell any more of the Alaska grown meat anytime soon due to the extraordinary cost of shipping. But that doesn't mean it can't happen someday. After all, the transportation of food for Alaskans is always improving. In the early 1800s, for example, two ships a year provided enough wheat for only 1 pound of bread each day for 200 people in Sitka. Now we rely on road, sea, rail, and air transport to restock food from all over the world almost daily.
The problem is, at this point, you know, there's no more grant money available, so if we wanted to do this, we'd have to find a way to get it down here for less money, or it's just plain cost prohibitive for people to buy it. But in hindsight, we've crunched different ways of doing it, and there are definitely opportunities to reduce the cost of shipping. If we broke the beef a little differently and went ahead and paid the processor to break those cows into what we call primal cuts, then we could ship it in a smaller container, which would cost less because it would weigh less. And we even thought if our company or some other company purchased one of these containers, then we had to pay, almost $700 to ship the container back empty. And if we had somebody generating products in Haines or in Southeast Alaska, I said we could market up there, then we'd get a double whammy out of this freight deal.
And while the state isn't interested in funding any more shipments to Southeast, they are exploring several other ideas, says O'Neill.
If we have a container that you can put potatoes and lettuce and, you know, all sorts of produce in the summer, is it viable to ship it, you know, using a regular box truck, not a refrigerated truck? Ship it to Haines, and could Haines even be a shipping point for for other locations, you know, or to Skagway or to other areas in Southeast. And so that was another thing that was going in on our minds.
O'Neill says the experiment is a clear message to Alaska growers that buyers are out there, and that could someday lead to more Alaska-grown products in the Upper Lynn Canal, where Ford is just one of many residents who believes that Alaska-grown could be worth the cost.
I think that the meat industry, like a lot of industries, the driving force behind it is profit and not necessarily the integrity of the product. And I think that in Alaska, the producers are typically trying to generate a really good quality product. And that was my impression after tasting this beef. It tastes better. It was juicy. It was tender. And I want to support anybody who's trying to do something better, not just for a quick buck. And I think sometimes we think kind of casually about how dependent we are on suppliers from the lower 48, and anything we can do to become more self-sufficient could be a beneficial thing.
I'm Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. You can listen to KHNS News anytime, online at khns.org. Just click on the Listen tab for stories from the last week, or go to archives for earlier stories.